Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happy International Women's Day from us all here at the 4020 Rugby League podcast, because that's when we're releasing this, even though I may be recording it before and you may be listening to it afterwards. I'm Richard Shoret, and what I should have done is got an actual woman to do the voiceover, but I haven't, so you'll have to put up with me. St Helens, three times in a row they've won the Women's Challenge Cup, and they announced this week they'll be paying their players match payments for the first time, which pretty much puts them on a line with some male semi-pro players, I guess, who don't have full-time contracts but who get a few quid for playing rugby league. So we went along to the Totally Wicked Stadium in beautiful downtown St Helens and spoke to a few people there. In a moment you'll hear from Leah Burke, but first, here's our favourite Canadian, well, one of our favourite Canadians, Chantelle Crowell.
Money. How important money. Is it, because other clubs have done this in the last few seasons, how important is it that your and your teammates are going to get a few quid this season?
It's a big step in the right direction for us. I think, as the club said on the top table at the press conference, I think we were taking our time with it, not rushing into it. Oh, here's some money, you know, little match £50 and stuff. We wanted to go in the right step, and having that medical care, making sure that we're ready to be paid as athletes, making sure we've got gym memberships off the village, Nutra preps, all the extras that come with it to make you an athlete and help you get there. I think taking our time to get to that stage and not being paid last year, they've done it really well, making this payment agreement for us. So yeah, it's a big deal, and we're the first women to be paid at the St Helens Club. So that's such a privilege for us, and we've been waiting for it for a long time, and it's just amazing that it's finally here.
All that stuff like medical care and gym membership and food prep, whatever, how important is that in terms of being as professional as you can be when you are, you know, not professional?
So. Yeah, well, because we work outside as well and we give up a lot of time, even family time, things like that, we might not be able to have a second job, things like that. It might not cover our bills, and everyone knows, you know, the cost of living is going way up. So the struggle is real. So some people, it helps them to get to the gym, to get their fitness in on the days that we're not at the club training or Cowley. The Nutra preps. People struggle to pay for high cost meals, including myself, like your veggies, your fruits, your every day to day. To make a good healthy meal, it costs a lot. So to have that backup to give us these Nutra preps at, after training days, to have the proteins, to have our hydrations, everything that we need in a game, repair shots, it takes the edge off, and that also adds to like the payment agreement, because that saves us money in the long run with that, and it makes us into better athletes.
I needed to become an athlete because I was going to eat properly. it must have been easy for other clubs. Other clubs must have been trying to tempt players away from St Helens in the recent past, because they were paying or whatever. Could give you more money than whatever else everything costs here. How easy was it, because the team has pretty much stayed together, how easy was it for you all to stay in the St Helens system despite the fact you could have got a few quid elsewhere?
Do you know what, it has been a struggle, well, especially last year when some teams started to pay their players. It was a big struggle because we were sort of like felt hard done by, that we weren't getting paid, until we had meetings and we discussed why we weren't getting paid and what was going to be brought in instead of the payment, which made it a little bit easier in the end. But the biggest thing for us is that we've been a squad for a long time, like over how many years, but years before St Helens even signed the women, and we're like a family, and that's what made us stay together. This year, the start of this year, a lot of people have been throwing money at a lot of players, and it could probably work out more than what we're getting, but the people behind the scenes, the people that we play with, the coaches and staff, even to the chefs that make us meals on our days off. You know, you can't thank them enough, and everyone's so comfortable with each other, and it makes it feel just like a nice homely environment, and I wouldn't change it for the world. So I'm glad to be where I am, and I hope I continue here for the rest of my career.
Because it's got to be sustainable, hasn't it? We can't just throw thousands and as much as we would like to throw thousands of pounds
at
you.
You can throw what you want, I mean.
That can easily go up in smoke, as easy as it comes. So
yeah.
The fact that the club are doing this slowly but in the right way must give you more assurance that things are going
to
happen.
Yeah, and it's reassuring that they're wanting us to get to that stage, but taking the time I think is really, really good for the club, because all these new players, young players and even more experienced players, I think when you start throwing money at them or paying them to play, I think people can lose the game a bit. I think some people might lose their head. Some people might take advantage of it that, oh, I'm in the squad. I've been here for ages. I'm getting a load of money now. So do you know what I mean? I'm just going to carry on and I'll just run the odd ball in. So it's giving people still that fight for the shirt to gain more payment, and also just keep producing skill after skill and keep going at that higher level.
Playing games here, how important is that as well? In addition to the money, the gym and this and the other, how important is it that actually you play on the same pitch as the men? You're not playing at some park pitch or whatever.
No, it's definitely amazing that we're playing at a stadium. I think the women, the academy, the men's team, I think we all deserve it because we all work so hard. That's a big step for us, because I used to remember breaking my ankle in a pothole when I used to play. Or like Tara said, you end up falling flat in dog poo. So, that's a big step forward, and the club have done so good to get us on all our games on the stadium.
I broke my ankle walking down the street. I don't want to talk about broken ankle.
Wembley.
You've won three Challenge Cups in a row. Surely gotta give
three
somebody
in
else a
row.
Chance. Gotta give somebody else a chance now. You don't want four, do you?
No, we want four. We want five, maybe even six. And the girls that we've played with for a long time, we won 4 years on the row with Faso Heath. So I feel like the Challenge Cup's sort of our biggest privilege to like playing. So Wembley was just a huge hit, and to win it, like, that was just a big step forward as well, adding to us getting this payment plan and securing that, showing what we can do and showing how good we are. Obviously we're hoping to get there again this year. That's a big goal for us, and many more years to come.
World Cup. Whenever that happens, I don't know.
Yeah, I think is it 2026 with the World Cup. So
somewhere down over.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to the World Cup. I'm always thriving. That is definitely one more. I do want to get one more World Cup in me. Yeah, whether that's with England, whether it's with Canada, I don't know. But as of now, I'm in with Canada, but you know, there's going to be nationals, there's going to be performance squads with England, there's going to be different things going on in the States, and World Cup qualifiers. So it just all depends on what I want at the time and what's going on in my life. And to be fair, playing for two nations, and Canada's my hometown, I'd be more than privileged playing for anyone, but right now I'm just focusing on St Helens.
Finally, this headshot, so is that fun, is that boring, you know, you have to...
Oh, I love it, I absolutely love it. It makes you feel like a privileged player, a true athlete. Days like these, media days and interviews, it just shows where the game's going, and yeah, I just hope it gets better and better.
I'm sure everyone's already asked you this and you're already bored of it. How did you meet? How's it getting on?
Do you know what? It's getting on really good. Like, better than I thought it was going to be. I think so. I'm 8 months post-op now. And I think at 8 months I'm doing really well. Everyone keeps telling me that I'm doing really well. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm doing all right. So hopefully, nearly at the end now.
The support you've had from the club, then, it's mentioned at the top table in the press conference. How important is that to players that, because you're the most recent one to go through it, how important is that for you as a person, not just a player?
it's massive. Like, I did it on the Sunday, had had the scan, I knew what I'd done by the Monday night, the day after, and then I'd seen the surgeon by the end of the week, and I'd been operated on within a couple of weeks of that. And I think that's just massive. I think if I wasn't in this position, I would still probably be waiting for the operation, not even considering playing again yet. So the backing of the club is just like being done the surgery on by the top surgeon. I remember going to my first appointment and Ryan Hall walked out of his office, so I was a bit like, I know I'm in the right place here. So yeah, it's just so good to be able to have that back in the club.
And that's not just physically, obviously, but it must be mentally, the fact that you're not waiting a year for an operation, that must be great for your mentality.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't even have time to even think about the operation before I'd had it. I think just having that support and buy from all the physios, like the Saints physio, the England physio, I think that's incredible. To just, because you trust them, and I'm in a position where I'm just like, I'll do what they say, I'll make sure I do everything that they tell me what to do, and I know I'll be alright. So I think that's, yeah, mentally it's great as well as physically.
Ready to get back on the field, the season's getting closer. What can we expect from Saints this year? Obviously winning the Challenge Cup at Wembley, but not quite doing it in terms of the Championship again this year.
Yeah, like, the season's coming around so fast. I've watched pre-season most of it, and been doing my own thing, but I know that obviously the aim is to get back to Wembley and win that fourth Challenge Cup in a row, but ultimately we want to be in a grand final this year. And I know we haven't been able to get to that grand final in the past couple of years, but that is what we want. We want to be competing for that grand final and all three trophies, and I think that this year that's a big focus for us.
This is going to be a stupid question, then, because, you know, for the last few months we've been talking to men and women about pre-season. Mm-hmm. Do you actually enjoy pre-season yourself? Are you quite glad to be on the sideline watching them toil?
Yeah, well, it's a weird one for me, because obviously I've had my own pre-season this year, and I have been working hard. It's probably been tougher this year because I've been working hard on my own, which is harder obviously than working hard with the team. So this year I've been hitting my own targets and working even harder in the gym than I would if I wasn't injured, because I always say if you're injured you have to work 10 times harder than if you're not injured. So yeah, for me this pre-season's been a weird one. I tried avoiding all the cold days and all the wet days, but it's nice. I'm back training now with the team, and the atmosphere within the team's good, and everyone's excited to get the season underway.
Because obviously we're here to talk about match payments that you're going to be getting this season, but you've got to work yourself into the team. You've actually got to get back into the team to get that match.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to walk back into that shirt. There's a lot of good girls in my position, and I think that excites me. I like the competition. I like to have to fight for my shirt, and I think competition makes everybody improve. I think it's, you don't want to be comfortable within the team, you want to have people pushing you, and that excites me. I'm looking forward to having that battle, and yeah, everyone, just making everyone better and making myself better.
How important is that, you know, extra, I guess it's a bonus, isn't it, on top of everything the club gives you in terms of, we mentioned medical support, whatever, how important is that little bit of extra cash if you do get it in the first time?
It's great. I think it's just, I look at it as it's a bonus of all your hard work, because it's a reward for taking the field, and it's a reward for putting the Saints shirt on, and you just get that little financial benefit off the back of that. And I think that's massive, and like I said, you have to be working hard to even see the benefit, see the payment benefit, and that's, hopefully that inspires people to work even harder if that's what they want out of it.
Does it feel like the women are definitely a part of this club? It's not just an add-on on the side. You feel part of, you feel important here at St Helens.
Yeah, we really do, and I think this club has supported the women since we first joined back in 2018, and I think it was good that they was one of the first clubs to be part of that Super League back in 2018, and ever since then we have been a part. We do get everything equals men, and when we was at Wembley nothing was different than what it would have been if the men was there, and I think that was an incredible experience for us, and we appreciated all that. And yeah, we get massive support, and we get to train and play at the same places the men do, and I think that's great. And like I said, like, the medical is huge for me, and obviously I've seen it firsthand. That's huge. And even like, all our pictures are on the walls and walking down to the change rooms and stuff, and it's just next to the men's, and I think that just shows that they treat us as equally as each other.
Leah Birtler, who hopefully will be seen soon again on the pitch in the Red V. Now, in a moment, we're going to speak to one of the new signings at the Totally Wicked Stadium in Bury Salehi, who knows all about the club, having been there before. But first, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Amy Taylor, and here's a perfect opportunity to put that interview into a podcast as well. Amy, thanks for joining us. Boring question at this time of year. How was pre-season training going?
Yeah, it's been really good. It's been tough, don't get me wrong, but it's been great to be back in with the girls and stuff. And now the games are getting closer, all eyes are on them, and we're really excited to get playing some games now.
An interesting first year in the first team squad last year. How would you sum up 2023?
Yeah, it was a really fun season. We achieved, obviously, the Challenge Cup at Wembley, which I think was definitely our main goal for the season, and that was an incredible experience. And obviously, we fell short in that semi-final last year, which was really tough. But obviously, we've looked at that now and then, but tried to work on stuff that we needed to improve on over this pre-season, then ready to get going for the new year.
That road to Wembley, the semi-final with the drop goal to win it, what was that feeling like to actually get to Wembley in the first place?
Oh, it was honestly incredible. Like, the game against York was so tough. It was like a washing machine at times in that middle, just set for set. And obviously when Faye got that drop goal, it was just amazing. Like, and because the crowd started coming in for the men's game after us, we had them Saints fans cheering us behind us. It was honestly probably my favourite game I've played in.
When you got to Wembley, then what were your first thoughts walking out on at the stadium the day before, when it's all empty and there's just no one there apart from yourselves?
Yeah, I think it was quite surreal, to be honest. I think it was at that moment when it actually like set in that we were going to be playing here tomorrow, and it was amazing to go the day before with the girls and kind of, even though there wasn't nobody in the stadium, to kind of soak in like the atmosphere of what we were going to be doing the next day. Yeah, it was a really good experience.
I've been there when it's empty, and obviously I didn't have to play there the next day, and you look up and you realise how big the stadium is. How do you deal with the fact that you are playing such a big venue, such a famous venue, and try and put that out of your mind?
Yeah, I think before the game, I think there was a lot of nerves, but as soon as the game kicks off, the nerves kind of go out the window because you're just concentrating on the game. You don't really have time to be nervous anymore when there's so much stuff going on the pitch. So as soon as it kicks off, you kind of just focus on the game and ready to go.
So the first time you step up for that conversion for Tara Jones, you don't think about anything else other than just getting that ball between the H's?
Yeah, to be honest, the first kick, I did realise how tall the posts were. They're ridiculously big compared to the other stadiums. But yeah, I was just kind of just focused on the game, really, in the swing of the game.
Coming into the squad as well, taking over the goal-kicking role, how difficult was that? Because obviously that's an important part of any rugby league team.
Yeah, but it's something I really enjoy doing. I've goal-kicked all when I was younger, playing for Fat O'Eaf and stuff, and it's something that I've practised a lot, and it's something that I take a lot of pride in doing, to be honest, because I think it's a really important part of the game. If I can add them 2 points onto a try, it could really make the difference in the end. So, yeah, it's something I've practised a lot on. I think it's really important.
How did you get involved in rugby league in the first place, then?
So I first started playing at school. I always played football when I was a kid. And I always watched Saints men, but I never really thought about taking part. Then when I went to high school, my teacher was a big rugby fan. So I started playing then, and she convinced me to go to a local team. And I've never looked back really since. I absolutely loved it.
You didn't fancy sticking with football then? It was rugby all the way as soon as you started playing.
Yeah, as soon as I started rugby, I just loved it so much, and I loved the team spirit and the playing with the girls every week, and soon forgot about the football.
You mentioned, obviously, Wembley, a great highlight last year, but obviously disappointment losing in the semi-finals. What have you been doing to go that extra this year?
Yeah, it was a really tough loss to take, but I think one of our main focuses has been like the small details and trying to put that consistent performance in across the whole game. I think generally in a lot of the games we played well for a good 60 minutes of the game, but maybe at times we just let ourselves down in key moments. So I think that's going to be a big focus for us for the next year.
Coming into a team, obviously you mentioned your goal-kicking as well, but you're coming into a side full of superstar players in the women's game, the likes of Jodie Cunningham and Emily Rudge, who everyone knows. What was it like as a young player coming into that kind of team?
it was quite daunting at first, but as soon as I started training and stuff, the girls were so supportive. Like, it's amazing to be in a team with so many England internationals and experienced players, because you can just learn so much of them. It's like a sponge, you know, absorbing everything they said. And they're really willing to help, like younger players coming through. So they really made it feel easy to join in, really.
We got hopes for an England call up in the future then to get that England shirt on?
Yeah, I think it's everybody's dream, really. Especially watching the World Cup a couple of years ago. I went to a few of them games watching the teammates, and the atmosphere was already amazing. So it's but it could be brilliant to see what it's like in the future, and that's definitely something I'd like to be part of.
You mentioned the atmosphere at the England games, but the atmosphere is building at domestic games as well, not just the finals, but Saints games being played at the Totally Wicked Stadium. How important is that, that you are playing at the same stadium as the men?
Oh, yeah, it's a really brilliant thing that we get to play at the Totally Wicked. It definitely feels like our home, and we get a really good, solid set of supporters in every week that really do cheer us on from the crowd. And especially in the big games, if you can hear the crowd, you know, getting behind you, it does give you that little bit of an extra boost and that little bit more energy.
Saints fan, though, you must enjoy the derbies against Wigan.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think that's such an iconic game in rugby league, isn't it? Saints versus Wigan. And I have a lot of friends who play for Wigan as well, who I've played like community rugby with, and there's always that bit of extra bite in them games playing against your mates, isn't there?
And they seem to be a team who on the improve as well. So it's good to see more teams who can challenge at the top end of the table as well.
Yeah, definitely. We know when we play Wigan, it's always going to be a tough game. They're very solid defensively, and they run at you hard and they tackle you hard. So it's about like sticking in them games and getting in that arm wrestle.
Looking at the season as a whole, then you've got to catch up with York. Leeds obviously in a couple of finals last year. Is there a lot of confidence in the Saints camp going into the season?
Yeah, I think so. Don't get me wrong. We know York, Leeds, and Wigan are really tough teams. And if you're not at your best on them days, then you're probably going to fall short. But we have a lot of confidence in our group. We know that we've got a lot of experienced girls, and we've also got a lot of youth coming through now. And it's about getting that balance right. And like I said before, if we can put that 80-minute performance together, we do believe that, like, we've got a good chance to beat these type of teams.
I'm glad you mentioned you, because it's reminding me, I was going to ask you, because obviously you're in a good position to tell me, having just come through the academy system, who are the young players at Saints who we should be looking out for, just to put you on the spot and see if you can forget anyone?
Well, the first person that comes to mind was Berry Salehi, who we've signed this season from Wigan. She was originally at our under-19s, but we lost her to Wigan, and now we've managed to get her back. I've played a lot of my youth rugby with Berry, and she's a real top talent, very young, very fast, very dynamic, and I'm really, really looking forward to playing on the same team with her this year in Super League. I definitely think she's one to watch.
The thing that everyone asks everyone in Women's Rugby League now is about Australia and the NRLW. Do you watch much of the competition? Do you have any ambitions to play out there one day?
It's something I really enjoy watching. I like watching everything about rugby, to be honest. Anything that's on, I'm probably watching. I think it's really good that we had some of our English girls go over and challenge themselves at that level. And it's something that is a really exciting opportunity for anybody that gets the opportunity, really.
We're obviously not full-time professionals in Women's Rugby League at the minute. What do you do outside of Rugby League? Do you have a life outside of Rugby League?
Yeah, so I'm currently a student. I go to Edgehill University. So I'm studying sports science there. So do that during the day and then go over to training on a night.
Is it hard to balance everything then? Because obviously you're going to have plenty of work to do outside of university as well.
Yeah, it can be hard sometimes. And sometimes if you've had a really bad day at uni or work for the other girls, and sometimes the last thing you want to do is go to training, to be honest. But we've got a really good environment at Saints that we all pick each other up. And if somebody's having a down day or tough session, then there's lots of support around. So it's definitely the team that gets you through them tough training sessions.
Where does a degree in sports science lead you then after university?
I'm not quite 100% sure yet. There's lots of things that I could potentially do, but I'm only in my second year at the minute, so I'm just not really thinking about that at the minute. Just focusing on the rugby.
That's fair enough. I didn't have a clue what I was going to do after my degree either.
Yeah.
So everything's looking good at Saints. Everything's looking good for yourself. How are you looking forward to the season as a whole? Because obviously the women's game, it's growing. There's games on the radio this year. There's games on TV. We're not going to be able to escape from Women's Rugby League in 2024.
I know, and that's really exciting, isn't it? I think we all play Rugby League for the games, don't we? And the pre-season training and the hard graft, it's for the games. And the fact that they're around the corner now, we have a friendly against Huddersfield next weekend. I'm just excited to actually play now, all that training and stuff. But like, the standard's just getting better every year in the women's game, and now that we have more teams in the WSL1, it's really exciting that we're going to be able to play different teams, and hopefully the standard will just keep improving year on year.
Going back to Wembley, finally, obviously you win, you pick up the trophy, celebrations afterwards. I guess that's the kind of thing that makes everything you do beforehand worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. You obviously set them goals in pre-season, and us obviously winning at Wembley was a massive achievement for us, and to be the first team. But now that we've done it once, we want to get back there. Like, we've got to experience that the whole day and the whole weekend with the team. It's now almost like we want to go and do it again. It's not good enough if we don't do it again now. We want to get that feeling. Do you know what I mean?
I wish I did, but unfortunately, I was no good as a rugby player to play at Wembley. I played in the school's cup final, but I wasn't even good enough in that. Amy, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck for the season. Enjoy the first game that's friendly against Huddersfield. And fingers crossed, we'll see you in more finals this year.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you.
I mean, the first thing I'm going to ask you, Barry, because it's very important, how do you pronounce your name so we get it right?
Barry Sully, hey.
Wonderful. You're back at St Helens. What made you come back here in the first place?
I think, like, there's so many role models at Saints, like Julie, Emily, Tara, Leah, like, and they're all playing for England, and that's where I want to be, and I want to be around that so I can, like, learn the standard, like, what I need to play at, and I think they're just really going to help, like, develop my game and stuff.
Is it daunting coming into a squad with so many big personalities, big name players?
Yeah, it is, but I like it as well, because I like how competitive it is, and it was really competitive for squad numbers, and I think that's what I like about it. It's a challenge for me, and it's going to push me to work harder, like, and it's going to help me improve as a player, because I'm going to have to work hard to get to the number I want to be, like the position I want to play.
We're here today talking about players getting paid at St Helens, but you actually have to be in the first team. You actually have to be in the first 17 to get that money to play. So how hard do you have to work to get into Matty Smith's first 17 in the first place?
It's really hard, especially with the players. All the players being so talented, and it's just really challenging. But I think that's what's going to make the difference. Like, we're all going to work hard. Like, I think they're all going to work hard. All the players are going to work hard anyway, but... like, yeah, it is a challenge, and you're just going to have to push yourself and train harder and to get in that, like, selected 17.
How has pre-season been going? Have you been anywhere exciting? Have you done any running up hills and all that damp kind of thing?
I think, to be honest, we've been training a lot at Cowley, mainly at Cowley and stuff, and we've done some team socials and stuff, but I think it's really helped, like, bring the team together, and especially me being so, like, new to the team, it's helped me, like, become more confident talking to the players, like, and that's just, like, came across into training as well. Like, I've been more vocal and stuff, like, in my role as fullback.
That's obviously a key role on the field, isn't it? But more important than perhaps, you know, people would think, but how confident are you that you can make that position you're on this season?
I think I'm quite confident, to be honest about it. Like, I think I did okay. I think I did quite well playing it at Wigan last year, and I think, especially with me coming into the team with, like, Jodie used to play fullback, she's been helping me a lot. So I think, like, I think I'm hopefully going to do well this season.
No pressure, but Amy Taylor said you were the player to look out for. I asked her the other week, who's the young players I should look for at St Helens this year, and she mentioned you, so no pressure on you whatsoever. what's she like as a player?
Amy, like, I've played with Amy I played rugby union with Amy, and I feel like whenever I played with Amy, I've always played my best. Like, she recognises how I play, and like, I love to play off, like, I love to play off Amy, and she always puts me into spaces, and like, somehow I just got a lot of tries when I'm playing with Amy. So yeah, she's a really good player and a really good kicker.
I find it difficult. Well, in the past, I used to report on rugby union with a rugby league brain, and it's difficult. How difficult is it to play both codes and the differences between them?
Well, I've just stopped playing rugby union now to mainly focus on Saints, but I think that like transition period, like sometimes I'm playing rugby union, I'm like going back like 10 minutes, like, and I'm meant to be like behind the ruck, so it's like you have to like switch your brain. But I think both codes like really like did help me, like with each, like help improve like different aspects of the game.
What are the hopes for you and St Helens then this year? Obviously, three Challenge Cup wins in a row. You'd be wanting to get your first here, and a fourth for the club, and a Super League title, the League Leader Shield, and everything.
Yeah, I really want to play at Wembley. Like, I was watching it on the TV, and I was gutted that I weren't in the squad, like in the team then, but. I mean, this year, hopefully, we can do it, and I think we can. But, yeah. And I just want to improve as a player and hopefully get selected for the England squad as well. And I think being at Saints is going to open up opportunities to get me there.
It must be good to play around so many internationals, because obviously you're going to get that experience of what they've done in the past. And you've got this interesting squad here where you've got a lot of experienced players, but also a lot of talented young players coming through as well.
Yeah, I think that's like the good part. Like, obviously, they're going to teach you the standard, like, standard you need to be at to be at England and even to be at Saints, but then the youth as well, like that's what's going to be the future of Saints, and I think it's good that they're giving the youth opportunities as well and allowing us to learn from the more experienced players, because I think that's really important.
Everyone's mentioned it's not just the money but the support off the field in terms of gym membership, food and medical insurance as such. How important is that for a young player coming through, that having things which you don't have to worry about having to pay for alongside everything going up in the real world?
I think the money shows that we're really valued, like to play the sport that we're playing at, it's showing that we are getting valued for it. But like the village gym, like that's really helpful, like with recovery, and like it's just going to make all them little bits are going to make us a better player, like the nutrition. Like I come straight to training from college, like then go straight home, and obviously my mum kind of like cut my food for me, but like she's happened to take me to training, and it's like, and it's just helpful because it's just like allowing me to still get the right nutrition, and like still like the medical, like everything's just like little bits are like what come together to make you a better player.
And you're studying anything in both?
I'm studying double P in human biology, and then I'm going to go to university and study sports and exercise science.
When I spoke to Amy Taylor, she didn't know what she was going to do after college. Have you got a career plan alongside rugby league? Have you got a career plan there?
Well, I'm gonna go and do the same as what Amy's doing, sports and exercise science. But I know I want to do something in sport. But I think it is hard when you're trying to play sport as well to balance that. And I feel like the money, the payments are going to help with that, especially with me like being at college and training. It's hard for me to get a job, and it's just going to help me pay for expenses for rugby and still allow me to play at like my best ability whilst managing like my studies and rugby.
Right, that's enough women for the time being. I know it's International Women's Day, but we've got to put some men on here somewhere, haven't we? Apart from me. In a moment, we'll hear from the St Helens head coach, Matty Smith, as he takes charge for a second season of the women's team, having won the Challenge Cup in the first season, of course. But first, here's the St Helens chairman, Eamon McManus, who tells us more about the decision to start paying players at the St Helens club.
Let's start with today's announcement, then, Eamon. Match payments for the women's team. How important is that as a step forward for not just the club, but the sport as a whole?
Well, it is that. It's a step forward. You know, the real big steps have actually been taken over the last 3 or 4 years in making sure that the girls play in a proper professional environment and are given the infrastructure that the club has to offer in terms of top-level coaching, you know, ensuring that, you know, proper medical cover and assistance, nutrition, conditioning, playing at the Totally Wicked Stadium. So, you know, we've put the platform in place for that. Obviously, it was Saints Leeds York, I suppose, that are the pioneers and really have invested in it over the last few years. But other clubs are now coming on board. Not enough, but they are. So it's becoming a more competitive environment. The girls are in demand. But I think more importantly, you know, they're acting professionally, they're devoting time, they're devoting energy, they have to be paid, you know, kind of commercially, but more importantly morally. I think that they have to be compensated for the efforts to reflect their own efforts and to reflect the level that they've attained. So, you know, that's this step. It's kind of getting publicity because it's monetary. But, you know, the real heavy lifting, I think, has already been done over the last 3 or 4 years.
Is that where perhaps we've missed the message then in the past, that the medical insurance, the gym membership, the food preparation, whatever, all that, and now the money on top of it?
The coaching, you know, we've got, you know, Matty Smith as the coach. I mean, he's, you know, can coach, well, he does, he can coach the first team, he'll go on to be a very good coach. So we're making sure, you know, they've got Craig Richards, Derek Hardman, Matty Smith. These are all very, very good coaches indeed, all working with the women, and, you know, a lot of backroom staff. So, you know, we've made sure that the platform and infrastructure is in place. Anybody, you know, the local pub can go out and pay a few bob for girls to turn up. That's not what we're about. You know, we want to make sure that the environment is right first. And as I say, that is the heavy lifting, because it's not recognised. But, you know, there is a considerable cost. But that has to be done first before you start paying the girls. And this is the natural next step.
What we've seen in other sports in rugby union, clubs going to the wall and their women's team being cast asunder as well, with huge debts. How important is that St Helens and rugby league in general do this sustainable? You can't just throw money at something that's not sustainable. But it's also important that the women get their dues as well.
No, it is. Yeah, I mean, if you did a, well, firstly, you know, kind of to date, it's been left to the clubs. You know, we're talking about next steps. The game itself has to get much more professionally involved in it, and as we always do, look at the template of the NRL as to how they've done it over what period. And the likes, and what level of investment is necessary. But, you know, at this point in time, we don't have the rules, the regulations, the minimum standards that the women's game deserves. And my own view is, if you're a Super League team, you should have to have it. You should have to ascribe a certain level of investment to it. In terms of it being loss-making, it's very easy just to look at your basic costs and say we've got no income, because we don't. Kind of, it's minimal in terms of crowds, it's minimal in terms of sponsorship. But what we're doing is, you know, improving our brand value. You know, the fact that our girls play at Wembley and it's on national TV, it's on international TV, and the name of St Helens is very much prominent in that. And the fact that girls are becoming more interested in rugby league generally means that we're getting more girls coming along to watch the men's game. So, and the two should interconnect. So it's easy to dismiss it as a loss leader. And at this point in time, it is, but there are indirect revenues that people, and value that people don't realise. And in the course of time, you know, people will start to pay to watch. It will have its own broadcast value, that I'm pretty sure of, in the course of time. It does make good television already. You know, we just don't have enough games or competitive games to make it to give it some traction for the broadcasters to ascribe a value to, and that has to be the next stage. The next stage we have to have is 12 Super League clubs, all with women who are paid to a degree, and the same similar level of quality as with the men's game. We can only do so much as a club. We want to be a leader. We are a leader at the moment, but we want all clubs to do the same.
You mentioned minimum standards. Obviously, you mentioned the press conference. You've got the destiny of this stadium in your own hands. You can choose who plays here and what, but not every Super League club has that.
Yep.
Luxury in a sense, but how important is it that women's games are played at the stadium we associate with them? And we see this in the football in the Women's Super League, where, you know, Arsenal are just trying to push their games at the Emirates, but they play at a non-league stadium pretty much the rest of the time. How important is it that for the St Helens brand, in a sense, that the women's games are played here where the men are? It's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to us, and we will also always ensure that the girls do play here when we can, as long as it doesn't coincide with the men men's game or whatever, but even then we can shuffle it around, because again it comes down to our brand, and our stadium is our own, and we want to see our stadium on the TV, and the more women's games are on the TV the better. I see what you mean regarding some clubs not owning the stadium, but it's still possible. It may not be for every game, but what you've got to ensure is if you can't, you do ensure that they play in a decent facility, not the local park, and certainly professional clubs should be doing that.
This, as you mentioned, it's a great growth area for the sport. How do we take advantage? Because obviously there's a massive interest in women's sport in general, the Lionesses and everything else. How do we, in rugby league, not miss out on that boat?
Well, as I said, the next stage has got to be that we have a very competitive league. You know, with 12 teams at the moment, we've got three who've taken the lead. We've got another two or three who are coming along, but we need it to be on a par with the men's game in terms of competition. That you don't know whether you're going to win next week or not, and once you get that, you know, it starts to feed in itself in terms of crowd, it starts to feed in itself in terms of TV and other forms of media interest in terms of producing content, and when you've got content you've got value. So it's there to be had. There's a clean slate. We've just seen within our own town and own area how it's taken off in a straight line over the last 3 or 4 years. We've taken on Jodie Cunningham. We're lucky in that regard. She's our captain, but she's now full time with the club, and she's full time not just playing. You know, she's an ambassador. She's in our community. She's going round to schools. We've now got role models that girls in this town know who Jodie Cunningham is. They know who Emily Rudge is. They know who Tara Jones is. So, you know, going round to the schools and getting a greater level of interest in the game of rugby league in 50% of the population, which is female. And for them, as I say, one, to play it, and two, to come and watch it. But the game itself has to support it. It can't be left to individual clubs.
Finally, it must be pleasing that now you are starting to pay players their match fees, but prior to that, there would have been interest in other clubs coming in for some of those big name players, but they've all stayed here at St Helens. They've all won another Challenge Cup and made history at Wembley, and they want to be part of this.
We've been kind of very open with them as to, you know, our plan in terms of development in the years ahead, and why we didn't pay them last year when Leeds did, etc. And they've stayed true to us because they do realise that, you know, where they may be missing a few quid in the pocket, it's more than made up with the treatment that we give them. When we went to Wembley, we made sure that they stayed at the Hilton next door, which we do when the men go down, treating them exactly the same. And they do realise that, they do appreciate it, and they know it's a little bit of a slow burner. And, you know, I do feel sorry for these girls, because these are the girls who really have put in the effort, really put in the time, monetarily not benefited from it, but the next generation will, the generation of that even more. But I think the good thing is that if the women's game does develop and come professional, there will be jobs for these girls in the sport. You know, these are the brains of rugby league as well as the players of rugby league. So they see that the game itself does have a future, and that there could be opportunities for them in it.
This is the typical boring question at this time of year. How's pre-season gone for the St Helens Women's Cup squad?
It's been, if you ask them, it's been long. We started back obviously before Christmas, and so it's a long pre-season for them. But they've dug in. They've been outstanding. You know, I think we're as fit as we ever have been, and they've had a really tough pre-season, really hard pre-season. You know, if you ask them, they're looking forward to the game now. I'm looking forward to the games as well. You know, we're 2 weeks out from that, so. You know, it's going to be exciting. I'm just looking forward to this next kind of couple of weeks now, just finishing touches, and we can get going.
Start with a defence of the Challenge Cup. Obviously, looking to make it four in a row, your second in a row. How important is that you kick off the season in the right way in that competition?
You know, it's important, yeah, to kick off the season, you know, on the front foot as well. But yeah, that's the first kind of trophy that's up for grabs. You know, we play three group games, and then hopefully a quarter final then before we play our first league game against York. So yeah, that's, you know, first four games of the season. So it's the first trophy up for grabs, and like I said, it's one that we probably hold up there last year, you know, playing at Wembley, being the first women's team to play there, and to have that opportunity and to win, you know, it's great memories and memories that we'll have forever. So, you know, we want that again.
Now you've had time to look back and reflect. Well, I assume you've had time to look back and reflect. Obviously, you're very busy, but what was the feeling like winning there as a coach, now that you've led this group on to glory?
Yeah, unbelievable. And did I think I would do that my first year as coach? I didn't. But you know, to have that experience, and you know, I'm very lucky. I've got a good group of girls who are coaching, very dedicated, and they, you know, as well as they give me that opportunity as well. So I'm very grateful to them for all the hard work they do. And, you know, but it was outstanding. Yeah, to have that experience, you know, played there as a player, but to coach there now as well is you're probably more nerve wracking. You know, you're in control a little bit as a player, but as a coach, you know, it's into the players, all over to the players, and you know, it was outstanding that day. And we, you know, had great memories.
What did you learn then from your first season? Not just as a head coach, but as you say, as a coach in this women's team as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you stop learning. You know, I'm obviously new to the coaching role, and you know, assistant to Paul in with the men's a little bit different. So obviously being a head coach, you know, it's more kind of the management side of things and picking teams and that sort of thing. So mate, I'm learning all the time, and it was a great opportunity for me to tech, because I think you are gonna make mistakes, you know, and you probably learn a little bit quicker with that with that head coaching role. So you know, I'm grateful to the club for the opportunity. You know, I'm loving every minute of it. It's like I say, I've got a great group here that are coaching, really dedicated. It's easy in so many respects, but obviously very demanding bunch as well, and they want, you know, they want success, and they demand the best. So you know, hopefully I'm doing okay.
Lots of experience in the squad, but lots of young players as well. How important is it that you gel that together and obviously build the club going forward?
Yeah, I think there's a great balance at the minute. I think, you know, you look at the people in the room today, you know, our experienced players, if you like, you know, Jordy, Emery, TJ, Leah, you know, the England internationals, you know, great role models for them younger girls that are coming, making their way into the squad, like Sabere, who we signed from Wigan, you know, someone who's really exciting player. I believe that she'll be an England international one day if she carries on and keeps working hard. But I think we've got a really good balance at the minute in the squad, and you know, and it's only going to improve that. I mean, you look at the amount of young girls playing the game now, it's remarkable, isn't it? And you know, things like playing at Wembley, and you know, now we're paying girls, you know, it's going to obviously inspire girls to even more girls to play the game. So I think that the sport is only going to get better.
How important is that, you know, extra incentive for the players? Obviously, they work hard to get into the first 17 anyway, but how important is that just extra bit of cash on the side just to help them along?
I think it is an incentive, isn't it? You know, you do play the game. I mean, I played the game to win trophies and to play on big stages like Wembley. And you know, the girls are doing that now, but you do it as well to earn money, and you know, the girls are experiencing a little bit of that now with the match payments. So you know, I'm made up for them, and it is an incentive. You know, they're going to want to get in the team, they're going to want to earn a little bit of money on top of what they're earning as the job. Probably makes my job a little bit harder, that, because they're going to demand to play, and but it might probably make it a little bit easier in terms of, you know, girls being dedicated and, you know, understanding that the game is moving now more. It's more the professional anyway. But what I'm trying to say is, they're going to demand a little bit more from them as well. So you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's great. It's a great moment for the club and for these girls.
It's easy to sit on the sidelines like myself and say, perhaps after Wembley, is there a drop off in, I don't know, in the mind, because you've achieved something amazing there and it didn't quite work out in the second half of the season? Is that something you need to work on this year, that you have to be consistent throughout to challenge York and Leeds again?
Yeah, I think we probably let ourselves down probably in the second half of that Leeds semi, you know, at the back end of the year. I don't think there was a drop off really, if you like. I think we just made some poor decisions in that Leeds game at the second half, what cost us, you know, in the end. You know, the group was really motivated, and you know, when you do have the highs of Wembley, you know, I've been there as a player, you know, then you go into Huddersfield at Lord Hill the week after, and it is different. You know, it's a different challenge. But I thought we were outstanding that week after. I think we beat them by 60 and we put an 80-minute performance and I thought we were great. You know, I was worried when we turned up there, I've got to be honest, but we was really professional and we put out a good win. So I thought our motivation was great, like towards that back end of the year, just a couple of decisions that semi let us down and we'll hopefully fix them this year.
At the Men's Super League launch a few weeks ago, Paul Wellens was asked what advice he'd give Matt Peat, head of the World Club Challenge, your Wigan counterpart, Denny Spence, coming into a different situation than he's used to. Yeah. What advice would you be giving him at this point in the year?
Dennis, I know Dennis quite well, and you know the pedigree he's got throughout the game. He won't need much advice from me. He's obviously a great coach in his own right, and you know, a lot of experience, great player first and foremost. But you know, he's been a great coach as well. So what I would say is, you know, the girls, and he probably knows this already, they are very demanding, they ask questions and they want to just keep improving, getting better and getting better and getting better. So the less you talk, the probably better. So it's you know, but I'm sure he'll do well, Dennis. He's a great bloke, like I mentioned, great coach, and I'm looking forward to coming up against him this year, you know, legend again.
Right, we'll end this with the former England captain Emily Rudge, who speaks openly and honestly about the situation regarding payments in Women's Rugby League, especially at St Helens, when they weren't getting paid last year, but now they'll be getting a few quid, which is all good.
Emily, you're going to get paid. What, how's it feel?
Amazing, incredible. I'm buzzing to know that I am going to be get paid to play Women's Rugby League. I think that is a moment that I knew would happen, but I didn't think it'd be my career. So it's, you know, I'm really proud to be a part of that, and it's very exciting for all the women involved and also the young girls coming through as well, because it's only going to get better.
How does it change things for you? Is it just an extra bit of support from the club on top of everything?
I mean, at the minute, yeah, probably. It's not probably enough for anybody to stop playing. It's a match payment, like we've said. So, you know, if you're not getting picked for whatever reason, injury or not performing, then you won't be getting paid. So, you know, I don't think we're all going to quit our jobs just yet. But, it, you know, it's an amazing step forward. It's going in the right direction. I think this needed to come in before. They're not just going to be like, wow, we're all professional straight away. So, you know, it's a milestone for us as players, and I think it's only going to get better.
I think that's still the belief sometimes, where some clubs have said we're going professional,
yeah,
and they don't actually mean they're going professional. They, you're going to get, if you get picked, you're going to get paid. If you don't get picked, you're not going to get paid. You still don't have the other support from the club.
Yeah, we've got incredible support from the club. So, you know, obviously you have to be in the 1-17 to actually get the match fee, but every single player 1-30 gets the medical support, gets the nutritional support. You know, we have free gym memberships now that are paid for. We've got medical support, in the sense that if you get injured, you can get paid to have an operation privately, which happens pretty much straight away. You know, within a couple of weeks, some of our players are being operated on for major injuries, which is incredible. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of other clubs haven't yet got to that point. They are paying players, but the girls, if they get injured, are still going through the NHS. So I'm really, you know, I'm proud to be part of this club who seems to want to do it in the right way and wants to put all the sort of support in place before they got to this point of playing the players, and now we're here. You know, it's just another step in the right direction.
There's a lot of talk and discussion and studies about injuries in women's sport in general. How important is that peace of mind you have as players, that you have that financial support behind the scenes?
I think it's massive. You know, there's so many sort of big injuries that you can get playing rugby league, and you know, Leah's testament to that. Did a knee last year, got operated on within a couple of weeks. She's going to be back pretty much for the start of this season. She's had incredible medical support with physio every single week she's in, and they're doing all the rehab. She's flown through the rehab because she's got such great support. And I think, you know, previous years we've been left alone. You've got to go through the NHS, you basically have got to recover yourself, and we all know how long it can take to get an operation on the NHS, so that is a nightmare. And you can be out for, you know, 2 to 3 years if you get a big injury. So the fact that we've got this is, like you say, complete peace of mind. I think it's great for the women, and it you know, it shows that we're valued as well. I think this payment is, you know, it's not life changing, let's say, but it is, you know, showing that we are valued as women and valued as players at the club.
When we spoke, I mean, it was probably about exactly a year ago now, and other clubs had started to pay players and saying, so I haven't really broached that subject. Did you feel I don't know, you're being left behind somewhat by the club. You didn't feel as valued as other clubs, other players at the clubs were.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that it's easy to think that way because you just see other clubs getting paid and you're like, well, why aren't we getting paid? And, you know, there was two or three clubs who were doing that and I was like, well, that is really about 90 other women who are getting paid and we're, you know, what are we like under all of them? But that is how you can look at it black and white. Actually, we had payments in, not in the sense of money going into our bank, but we were paid in the way that we were supported, and that was so much better than other clubs. And I think that was important to recognise as players, first of all, that actually we could have been getting, you know, £100 a week like some of the other clubs were, but then we still didn't have, you know, we'd have to buy all our nutrition ourselves, we'd have to get all the other support ourselves, so actually that payment wouldn't be going very far. We weren't getting paid, but we were getting all the other stuff with it, so it sort of felt like a payment without a payment, if that makes sense. So yeah, I can totally understand why people, I've seen a lot of things on social media about, you know, Saints women should be getting paid, but the people probably don't know the backstory of actually how much support we were getting, and that was just a little bonus actually. So,
and it has to be sustainable as well, isn't it? Clubs can't just throw money out. As much as, you know, I said this to Shani earlier, as much as we'd like to throw money out, you can't do that.
No. Definitely got to be sustainable. Other things have got to come in place before we just start paying people. And I think, you know, we've got to grow the game to a point where it can continue then each year on year. You know, we're getting bigger crowds now. We're getting more people wanting to come watch the women's game. But that still needs to improve. That still needs to get bigger. You know, we're not filling out stadiums. We're getting between 500 to 1,000 people on a regular basis. But really, if you want to have part-time contracts, full-time contracts, that needs to be a lot better. We need to have a game which is competitive enough where sponsors want to invest. And I think probably sponsors don't want to invest as much as they do with the men's game at the minute, so there's not as much money there. And, you know, that will come, I think, within the next couple of years, and I hope that sponsors see the value of the women's game and get on board, and I think that'll really help to give it a boost, and it will eventually, you know, we'll have part-time players, and I hope that happens before I retire, but I'm not sure if it will.
I'm thinking about this in my head, and it sounds stupid because I've done things I love for no money, I've done things I love for some money, and obviously it's better to have some money than no money. But is it easy to stay in a club where you are getting support, but on top of that you've got a winning team? You can get paid 100 quid elsewhere or whatever, but you're not going to go to Wembley and get medals and stuff like that. It must be difficult to balance that.
I think that's probably what kept a lot of us together last year. I think last year clubs come in for our players and was offering payments, and girls had the opportunity, you know, to be a paid player last year. They didn't take that opportunity because they wanted those moments of going to Wembley, and we were confident that if we stuck together we could have those opportunities. If we would have gone to play at Leeds, you know, York, Warrington, wherever was offering money, then you know it was less likely you'd have those opportunities. And I think that is, for us as women, that's a balance. You know, I think I play the sport because I love it, and I am so grateful that I had that moment last year, and that moment was absolutely priceless, much better than getting paid 100 quid every week. So, you know, I would not change it. I hope that we can repeat that Challenge Cup win again this year, because I don't think there's anything better as a rugby league player than lifting a trophy at Wembley.
There's no 100 quid doesn't go far these days. What's next, Emily? Are you going to become rugby league's first influencer? Is that the plan?
100%. I would love to do that. I think that I love like speaking about the game, growing the game. I love sort of social media and being shown in a positive way. And I think social media is such a great way to shine a light on the incredible women in our team. And I think also a great way to, you know, for new people to see the sport that don't know anything about it. I think women's rugby league is unique in the sense that you don't have to be a rugby league fan to want to watch women's rugby league. Some people just like watching women's sport in general, and they don't know about women's rugby league. So to get it out there is important for the game as well. And I hope that continues. And if anybody wants to give me a social media job, I'm available, guys.
Strictly, I'm a celebrity. Gladiators. Any of those you fancy?
Sign me up, 100%. I would love that. Yeah. Thanks for bringing me.
So there you go. Hopefully, even if you aren't a Saints fan or even need a fan of Women's Rugby League, you'll have enjoyed listening to some important people say important things about the states of the game as we speak. Back on Monday, live from 6 for another episode of 4020 Live, unless, of course, you're listening to this afterwards in case we were there on Monday. Oh, you know what I mean. Have a good one. Sports Social Podcast Network.